Hello, everybody. Hello, hello, and welcome. Welcome to The Truth About Sales. We have a couple of people just dinging in at the last minute, and I'm so excited that you're here. I'd like to start by saying welcome to the great men and women of the future. Why would I say of the future? Well, I say of the future because I believe that most of us have not yet fulfilled our primary contribution to mankind. And by learning these tools and adopting these techniques, that we will, in effect, be empowered to make a bigger difference in the world. And it's my intention to make a big difference for all of you, such that you can go forward and make a difference in the world. Now, I can't promise that what you're going to learn here is going to be easy nor automatic. Yet I can promise that when you commit to this training, you will absolutely have a breakthrough in your ability to communicate with others, in your ability to inspire others to work with you, and in how you show up in all of the relationships in your life. You are going to be learning an entirely new realm of communication. And we're going to start today by exploring some perspective, some context, some meaning, the art of creation. It's going to feel a little bit in the beginning, perhaps a bit esoteric. And yet my intention is to give you a new structure, give you a new context. We'll get to some tools. We'll get to some language patterns. Those will come. And yet what we know is that unless we set a good foundation first, it doesn't matter how smooth those language patterns are. All of you at some point have received a call from a telemarketer, and they have some script that they're pounding you over the head with. The question is, does it make any difference what their script is when they're speaking to you like that? They speak down to you. They don't listen. They talk over you. They're out of rapport. Doesn't make any difference how good their script is. So we're going to start first by setting up some context. So I'd like to open by reading one of my favorite quotes. And the quote is this, that words are spoken by the listener. So we get upset when other people break our trust or they misunderstand us. Yet the problem is that we tend to assume that whatever we say is perfectly understood and perfectly projected, reflecting our thoughts and feelings in fine precision. The truth is that words are the most complex, arbitrary, relative, and symbolic forms of communication, and that each of us have different definitions based on our own unique experiences and associations with each word we come across. So in essence, while you might provide the words, it's the listener that provides the definition. So a really brief example of that is, you know, what do you think of when you hear the word love or fun or beauty? You know, think about that for a moment. There's a tribe in Africa, the Mercy tribe in Africa. They pierce their lower lip and they stretch it out over a big plate. And in this tribe, they believe that the woman with the largest plate in her lip is the most beautiful. Now, if this is different than your definition of beauty, then this is the disparity that I'm talking about. This is the difference in a single word, just beauty, that's it. So if we can have different definitions for the same word, how is it that we can communicate with any sort of accuracy? So consider who gets to decide the meaning of a word that you use. Who gets to decide the meaning of a whole conversation? And then the real question is, how do we know the meaning of a communication and what gets through? So one of my favorite quotes is, the true measure of any communication is only in the response that we receive, regardless of our intention. So if this is how it works in a communication between two people, and if the listener is creating their own meaning for what you have to say, then who's responsible for the listener's experience? And more importantly, who's responsible for your experience? Who gets to decide if you're having a great day or a lousy day? Who gets to make that call? Huh. Interesting. So consider that also human beings, we're all doing the best that we can. And if you've ever gotten upset and said something you didn't mean, well, if you didn't mean it, why did you say it? Well, because you were doing the best that you could at the moment. Maybe screaming at somebody is what you thought was the best move to protect yourself. I don't know. So with that in mind, what does it mean when somebody's rude to you? It means it's the best they have at the moment. They think being rude and pushing you away is the smartest move for them at the moment. Also, what does it mean then when somebody decides not to work with you? Well, perhaps this means that they believe this is the best decision that they have at the moment. Isn't that interesting? So, with that, because I usually forget really quick introduction, I hope, I trust, I believe that some of you know me. In fact, I know for sure by looking at the roster, some of you have trained with me before. So for those of you that don't, very briefly, my name is Joel Rico. I am a real estate broker and a real estate investor. I'm an engineer, and I'm also a licensed hypnotist. I'm a certified trainer of transformational NLP and NPE, and I also have, considered by some, a fairly unorthodox sense of adventure. I like to snowboard, surf, scuba dive, free dive, skydive. I have hundreds of base jumps all around the world. I ride motorcycles and mountain bikes. Why do I share any of that? Because these things give me sometimes a very unique perspective. And you'll find out as we go deeper and deeper into this course that sales and communication in general is really an exercise in perspective. How do you see it? How do they see it? Where do we find common ground? Where is the understanding happening? It's my goal in sharing this work with you to make a difference for you in the way that you communicate with others, with your friends, with your family, with your clients, with yourself, such that you can make a difference for other people in the world and that we all pay it forward. So very briefly, in my engineering career, I learned a very pragmatic style of communicating. You know, engineers don't argue with each other. They create blueprints, and it's sharp and precise. They don't argue on how much load will this piece of metal hold. Those are documented. If you don't like it, test it, find out. So engineers move and communicate in this very pragmatic way. So as a hypnotist, however, very different model, I learned how to listen between the lines, how to pay attention, and how to influence your unconscious mind, because it listens differently than the conscious mind. So together, these two styles melded together create an entirely new model of communication, and it will empower you to lead a life of choice. Now, again, this curriculum that you are now embarking upon is very much like learning a new language. Sadly, there is no magic pill. I can't teach you Japanese in a weekend. It takes time, on task, over time. So just like a pro athlete, this is a training process, and it will turn you into the best in the world. The question is, who's responsible for that training? Well, if you buy a hammer from Home Depot, is that hammer used to smash your thumb or to build a house? Well, that's up to you, just like this course is up to you. I will do my very best to bury you in high-quality content, and it's up to you on what you get out of it. I have people go through this curriculum. I've been teaching basically this curriculum for 10 or 12 years. I have people come through this curriculum and double, triple, and quadruple their close rate. Let that sink in for just a moment. Not doing any more work, just closing 2, 3, 4 times as many people that you're already speaking to, versus I have people go through this course and it gets hard and they drop out and they stay where they're at. So this is up to you. So it's my belief the fastest way to evolve is immersion and overwhelm. And I will do my very best to bury you in content and overwhelm you as quickly as I can. Lastly, you can count on me to greet your questions with respect. There is no such thing as a dumb question. Plenty of dumb answers. No such thing as a dumb question. And for me, no topic is off limits. So it's this course is designed to be focused on sales. And I believe everything we do is sales. Trying to get your 10-year-old to clean the room, that's a sales job. Trying to get your husband to take out the garbage, that's a sales job. You want your boss or your employer or your broker of record to adopt your opinions, change your split, all of those are sales jobs. Trying to get yourself out of a speeding ticket, that's a sales job. So it's my intention that we use this communication model for everything. And the more you practice everywhere, the faster you'll learn. So very briefly, a little tiny bit of admin, because it's call number one, and then we'll jump right in as quick as we can. So the first piece of admin is this is a participatory workshop, and the workshop is generated by you. This means that I'm going to do my best to host it and bring up questions and enroll you in the conversation, and the more that all of you participate, the faster you grow and evolve. So this week has a little bit extra admin to cover, so bear with me. Participation means that you play full out and do all the exercises, especially when those are outside your comfort zone, right? Outside the comfort zone is where growth occurs. And stay current because the classes build upon each other. They're in the order they're in for a reason. And like putting on layers of paint, we keep adding and adding and adding and adding, and by the time you're done, you're all polished up and look amazing. So if you miss a couple of pieces, now you're going to have a hole in your game. So please stay current. What else? There's a thing in your handout on how to ask questions. You can unmute. I'm muting the call right now because I'm committed to everybody. I want a quiet environment so everybody can listen and pay attention. If you're in a noisy environment, then you're not going to get as much out of it, and I'm committed to maintain high integrity for everybody. So to ask a question, to interact, to role play, whatever, *6 will unmute your phone, and then say your name, right? *6 and say, Fred Smith from Topeka, whatever, right? That way we can call you and pull you into the conversation. When you're done, *6 again, so nobody has to hear your background noise. All right, a couple of quick guidelines for the course. Please, only enrolled participants on the call. So one thing we know about sales as a model is sales is your ability to have a high-level sales business is largely based on your integrity. People that are out of integrity, their sales businesses collapse. And it's my request that integrity starts here and is everywhere. So if you're out of integrity somewhere in your life, my request is that you go clean that up. You might think it's not bleeding over into your business, and it is. So my request is that you start that here in this course. If you paid to be in the course, great, be here. Please don't give your dial-in to anybody else. Please don't piggyback somebody into the course for free. Somebody is going to pay the price karmically, you, them, everybody. For some of us being out of integrity, my request is that we are in integrity all the time. Be in a quiet place for the call. Please, you'll get way more out of it if you don't multitask. If you're checking your email and doing other things, you're going to miss it. Right? It's like watching a good movie and checking your email at the same time. You're going to miss it. And then lastly, be prepared. When I say be prepared, I mean do your best to come open-minded. I promise I'm going to say things that you're not going to agree with. And my request is that you try those on. See how they feel. Explore them a little bit. This is where new things happen. So get out of your old way of doing things and try some new ways of doing things. After you consider them, after you try them, after you take them on, after you do the exercise, if it doesn't work as well as what you're already doing, then you're free to go back to what you're already doing. and until you try them on and walk around in them a little bit and see if they fit, you're never going to evolve past where you are. So my request is that you be open and try some of the crazy things that we're going to set up. All right.
Joel, Debbie.
Debbie. Hi, Debbie.
Hi. I'm happy to be here, but I didn't get the workbook.
Okay. Debbie, what's your last name, Debbie?
Milliken from New York.
Debbie Milliken. I will drop it in your email right now.
Thank you.
Thanks for speaking up. Yep, you're welcome. So, hang on a second. My computer just gave me some little error message. So, one of the things that we know from learning the studying NLP and hypnosis and psychology and those models is that people learn differently. And this course is going to be taught in multiple learning styles simultaneously. So most of that's going to be invisible to you, and hopefully it'll align with you. And yet, the one thing that I'd really like to impart upon you is that just by being on all the calls, you'll pick up a bunch. However, the real breakthroughs, the real magic will happen when you do the exercises. And some of those exercises are going to be outside your comfort zone. And yet, this is where real change occurs. In order to create new neural pathways, which are new paths in your brain, that's a fancy word of saying new habits. The only way to create a new habit is to do that thing over and over again. You want to set a habit to exercise every day? Well, you've got to exercise every day for a bit, and then all of a sudden, it starts to become the easy path. So this is what it takes to get out of our old ways. And I like to say, you can watch all the kung fu movies that you want. That does not make you a black belt. What makes you a black belt is working, training, sweating, practicing, doing it, falling down, getting up. So if you're committed to being a black belt as well, then be ready to get a little sweaty and a little dirty and to fall down and get up a few times. That's where it comes from. So in this class, you absolutely will learn how to take control of and how to reprogram your habits such that your habits will become your champions. Some of you will have massive, massive breakthroughs and will experience explosive growth. And sadly, some of you will get sucked back into your old habits. Some of you might not even complete this course. My request is you take a moment right now. Decide for yourself. How committed are you to have a giant breakthrough? And what is that breakthrough for you? So write that down. Like, what's the one thing that you could get out of these next 12 weeks that would literally blow your mind? My request is that you write that down. I have a thing for post-it notes. Write that down on a post-it note and stick it on the wall above your phone and keep your focus on that.
Joel.
All right. That's enough admin. Yes.
Good morning. Anita Murphy in Salt Lake. Good morning. I did not get the workbook either. Could I get that sent to me, please?
Sure. Anybody else while we're doing this? Anybody else need a workbook that didn't get one? Speak up now or forever hold your peace. There's a few of you. What happened with our software? The workbooks went out yesterday, and there's a handful of you that signed up today or after they went out yesterday. So, okay, it's on the way, Anita.
Joel, Debbie,
yeah.
I think you said
Debbie.
Were sending it. Did you mean during this call? Because I didn't get it.
It left my email 6 minutes ago, 5 minutes ago. Please check your junk. Please check your spam. And wow, we've had this happen like 10 times. I have people saying, hey, I didn't get it. But you signed up for this course with a different email. So if you have multiple email accounts, check the email account that you use to sign up for this course. It's the only one that I have. So I'm sending it to the
only have one
email that I have for you.
My email, and I didn't get it. and I checked my spam, and I did not get it.
Hold that thought one moment, because I'll tell you exactly where I sent it. Bear with me. All right, so I sent it to dmalkin@gmail.com.
That's email.
Says it went 4 minutes ago.
Okay.
So keep checking. Maybe it's your server. Check your server. It's on the way. By the time you get it, you're going to get like 3 copies of it.
Okay.
So it's there. It's there. Awesome. All right, so I think that's enough admin for today. Now you know all the admin stuff. So, excuse me, now we know the admin stuff. Let's jump into some real work. So the real work is that, if you remember from the intro call, words have power. Words have power. You remember the quote that communication is the thing that can make your palms sweat? It can make you sigh with relief. Words, language, and communication is the thing that can build relationships, destroy relationships. Every time you speak, you're creating something. And all opportunities can be found inside conversations with other people. All opportunities are hidden inside conversations. And all conversations have nested within them some sort of an opportunity. And from the words of Susan Scott, all conversations are relationships, and all relationships are conversations. If you and your spouse yell and scream at each other, then guess what? That's your relationship. So we have two major things we're going to take on today. One is this one. How do people listen, and how do people know who to trust? That's a really good question. How do people listen? And how do people know who to trust? Well, when you study your own life, you will see that the people that you listen to and the people that you trust are people that are very much like you. And as human beings, we have evolved. This is part of the racial tension. We have evolved from a place where we trust mostly those that are in our own tribe. Why? Because they're like us. They feel like an extension of us. If you're in my tribe, I know you, I like you, you look like me, you sound like me, you talk like me, you eat like me, we do the same stuff. You feel like an extension of me. Therefore, trust is nearly automatic. And by the way, this is hardwired into our neurobiology. And if somebody looks different, they sound different, they dress different, they walk different, they move different, they smell different, they eat different, they exercise different, their face is different, their skin is different, their hair is different. Hardwired into our neurobiology is, uh-oh, what's that? Oh, that, oh, scary. Something, there's difference in the unknown. And it's not an automatic trigger for trust. And that comes from sameness. So one of the things that we're going to work on for the whole 12 weeks, one of the conversations that we're going to continue to have is, what is this mechanism that has people want to talk to you? At some point in your life, you've met somebody and just, bang, oh, I just like them. I don't know what it is. I just feel comfortable. I just really like this person. And at some point in your life, you've met somebody and just, oh, whoa, whoa, get away. Oh, no, 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 uh-uh. Mm-mm. What is that thing? That thing is called rapport. Rapport, by definition, is a state of being characterized by trust and responsiveness. And it's created by mirroring and matching people. It's destroyed by thinking only about yourself and not about their communication style. This is one of the keys. The better a job you are at getting in rapport with people, the easier it is for them, the easier it is for you to get connected, and it's the only way in which people will listen and speak to you. Consider the last time that you got a telemarketer call And you answer the phone. Yeah, hello. Hi, this is Fred from AT&T, and I'm calling about your long-distance service. Blah, 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 blah. Were they in rapport with you? Nope. They were trying to beat you over the head with their script, and they didn't care how that showed up for you. They were different from you. They weren't listening to you, and they may as well have been a recording. The fact that they were so different from you immediately has us going, whoa, whoa, not, nope, not interested, get away from me, nope, nope, nope. So we're going to spend a whole lot more time digging into the details of this, and until then, one of the things I'm going to ask you to focus on is, excuse me, is to match how people speak. So really listen. Really listen and pay attention to how they speak. If they answer the phone and they say, hello, then you say, hello. And if they answer the phone and they say, yeah, hi, then you say, hello. Right, totally out of rapport. So listen very intently when people speak to you and really tune in. What does it feel like? Where are they coming from? Are they excited? Are they in a hurry? What happens if they're in a hurry and you're not? Yeah, hello. Yeah, who's this? What can I do for you? So I was calling about, right, they're ticked off and they don't want to talk to you. So the better job that we can do to mirror and match their initial state of being, the keywords they use, the more you can align with how they communicate with you, the more you're literally speaking their language. Because people listen inside a very narrow range of context. How do we know what that context is? It's the range in which they speak. So speak inside that context. All right. We have an exercise. Tried to go really fast through that first half because there's an exercise that I'm going to give you that's going to take most of the other half. I want to break here for just a moment and do a little Q&A. So did all of that make sense? I know this first call, I'm kind of throwing a lot at you quick. So is anybody lost? Is anybody stuck? Did any of that not make sense? Any questions, comments, anything before I give you this big exercise? And this exercise is going to be like your key process for this week, and I promise it's going to be tough. I promise you're going to get a huge amount out of it. So any thoughts, questions, anything before we jump and do something, before we jump into this exercise?
Hi, Joel. This is Dan Melchner in Tampa.
Hey, Dan.
Hi. I saw your advertisement just yesterday and on the email, and I'm such a big fan of your language of sales class that I just went ahead and signed up. But I was curious, how is this class different than language of sales?
Well, language of sales is just a name that I was teaching under for many years, and this is new and evolved. So, Dan, my request is that you ask me that question at the very end of the call today after we do the exercise that we're just about to do. Fair enough?
Yes.
Awesome. Thanks, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else? Questions,
yes,
comments,
Joel,
anything?
Harry Gibbs in Texas, and I just had a kind of a definition for rapport that I think is pretty good. It's finding
please.
Common ground. Hello?
Yes, please. You said you have a great definition of rapport. I'd love to hear it.
Yeah. Finding common ground and getting into harmony with others.
Nice. I like that. I like that a bunch. I'm going to say finding common ground and getting in harmony with others in the way in which they communicate. And I'm focused on communication because I have two friends of mine that are both diehard football fans. And they communicate exactly the same way, and yet this guy likes this team and that guy likes that team, and they totally disagree on which team they like. They both have different teams they support, so they're definitely not in harmony there. They make fun of each other's quarterbacks. However, they both wear baggy jerseys, they both wear jeans and high-top Converse tennis shoes. They both wear baseball caps. They both shave about every 3 or 4 days. They both, you know, drink the same kind of beer, and yet they totally disagree on who they're talking about. So, yes, getting in harmony with the way in which we communicate allows us to be in harmony, yet we can still have disparate focuses and topics. So, awesome. That's a great definition. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you, thank you. All right. Anybody else? So your focus for the first half of this call, your focus on every conversation you have this week. In fact, every conversation you have from this point forward forever is for you to really, really listen, not just to what are they saying. Listen intently on how they say it, because this is much more important. And if you think that doesn't make any sense, then have a conversation with your dog and say to your dog, "You're the worst little thing in the whole world. I think I'm going to grind you up and make sausages out of you and feed you to the neighbor's dog. Won't that be great?" Right? And your dog is going to lick your face and get in your lap, because how we say it is more important than what we say. And this is what happens inside our conversations. Somebody's really excited. Oh my gosh, they're so excited. And you're trying to calm them down. It appears to them that you're not listening. Think about how this is with your friends. If your friend is really excited, they won the lottery, you're not going to poo-poo the lottery. You're going to celebrate with them. That demonstrates that you're on the same team. So the more that we can find harmony with how they communicate, the better communication occurs. All right. So that's thing number one for today. Thing number two for today is, how do we show up for others? What we do in the sales world is we are professional communicators. It's what you do for a living. When you're doing lead generation, you are reaching out and communicating with people to see, you know, if they have a need that you can help them with. When you're at an actual client appointment, you're communicating. You're finding out, what do they need? What do they want? What does that look like? When do they want that to happen? You can communicate, this is what I can offer to help you. All these are communication models. So inside this model, consider, of all the people that you know, are there certain people that you know that you really enjoy being around? Who is that? And why? What is it about that person that you so enjoy being around? And then the negative question, the opposite question is, are there people that you just really dislike being around? I just don't want to be around them. I don't want to talk to them. I don't want to go to lunch with them. I don't want to be in a conversation with them. Damn it, how did they get my cell number? Think about those people. And what is it about those people that you don't like? My guess is it's very little about their position. Right? I have people that I think the world of. Some loved Trump and hated Clinton, and some hated Trump and loved Clinton. And yet the people, I really like the people. And it doesn't have anything to do with their view or their opinion. It's how they are. And it's how they are in the way in which they connect with and communicate with me. The real question is, what does it feel like to be in that person's presence? What's it like for you to be around them? And then the real question is, what does it feel like for other people to be around you? This is the question. Your ability to have a giant sales business is largely a function of what does it feel like for people to be around you, right? What does it feel like? A whole bunch of us on this call are Keller Williams people. So what does it feel like to be around Gary Keller? Have you sat down and talked to that guy? It's inspiring. So what the real question is, what does it feel like for other people to be around you? So what if you think you're amazing and other people think you're obnoxious? Who gets to decide if you're amazing or obnoxious? Well, the other people do. because amazing or obnoxious is a position of the audience. What if everybody knows you as an unethical business person? What happens to your business? Well, it suffers because people know you as unethical. And what happens if people know you as honest, that you produce amazing results, that you're easy to deal with, that you're friendly? What impact would this have on your business? Huge. So what does it feel like for other people to be around you? So we're going to take on an exercise this week. This exercise is a self-critique. Maybe some of you have heard of it before. It's also known as the 360 review. So the 360 review is literally, we are going to interview some people in your life. And you're going to literally ask them, what is it like to be around you? So this exercise requires the most important part of this exercise is the setup. And the setup is that we are going to very nicely, very politely request some honest, open feedback. We're literally going to ask people to shine a light on our blind spots so we can see the way that we show up for others that we don't see. For example, if everybody thinks that you're obnoxious, you don't know. You don't know that you're obnoxious. You're just doing the best that you can. And yet, it's showing up in a way for other people that it's not landing well, even though your intentions are good. So this is what we're looking for. Where's the difference between your good intentions and how you get perceived by others? So herein lies the self-critique exercise. So the setup might sound something like this. I'm going to pull aside a friend or a coworker or maybe one of my clients or maybe one of my staff, whatever, maybe your partner, and say something like this. So I'm very committed to my own self-growth and my own evolution. And I realize that I have some blind spots, some things that are probably obvious to others, yet I don't see them. Kind of like having spinach stuck in my teeth. As somebody that I know, somebody that I love, somebody that I trust, whatever, I'm requesting your help. Would you be willing to let me interview you about your impressions of me and how I show up for you and how I show up for others, such that I'll be able to have some clarity about these issues? And you have my word that your honest feedback will not hurt my feelings, and I promise it will not jeopardize our relationship. In fact, the more honest and direct and straightforward that you are with me, the more that you'll be, you know, helping me and doing me a favor. So with that, do you have a few moments? Can I interview you so I can have some insights on how I'm showing up in the world? Now, hopefully, that setup sounded authentic and significant and sincere. That's key. It's key that you honestly want to know what your blind spots are and that you authentically set this up because you really want to know. That's key. All right, that was key number one. Key number two is when this person agrees, they go, yeah, sure, I'll do that. Then two things matter. Number one, take notes. Because if they say anything negative, your ego is going to want to forget about it or write it off or justify it or something. So take notes. For sure, take notes. And the only response, one more time, the only response that you're allowed to give is, great, thank you. Is there anything else? That's it. So this exercise is going to sound like this. You do the setup. Hey, I have a favor to ask. I realize that I'm in sales. And, you know, I'm committed to be an awesome salesperson. I'm committed to helping lots of people. And based on my intention, based on my work, I'm just not getting the results that I was hoping, that I think I should be getting. I must be missing something. Will you help me? Right? And you set this up powerfully. And they go, yeah, sure, I'll do that for you. And you say, great. So question number one, right? I'm sitting here with my pen ready. Question number one is, what do you see as my strengths? And they say, oh, I think you're a great person, and you're sharp, and you're this, and you're right. I'm writing these down. And they say two or three things. The only answer you're allowed to give is, great, thank you. Is there anything else? Well, yeah, you're handsome too. Okay, handsome, great, thank you. Is there anything else? Yeah, I love your dry, crazy, weird, witty sense of humor. Great, dry, witty sense of humor. Thank you. Is there anything else? That's all I can think of for now. Awesome. Question number two. What do you see as my weaknesses? They say, well, you know, you're a little bit neurotic. Okay, neurotic. Great. Is there anything else? Yeah, you can be kind of flippant and irreverent, and sometimes that doesn't come across very well. Great. Flippant, irreverent. Irreverent. Thank you. Is there anything else? Yeah, you know what? Blah, 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 blah. Oh, wow. Thank you. Great. Let me write that down. Anything else? Thank you. Is there anything else? Right? And I'm just going to keep going until they go, no, that's pretty much it. That feels like everything. Okay, great. Number three, based on what I'm committed to, being an awesome salesperson, having a huge business, being a great dad, being an amazing partner, being a, you know, living to 100, whatever it is that you declare you're committed to, what do you think works about who I am? And they say, well, blah, 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 blah. You, great. I'm going to write that down. Great. Thank you. Is there anything else? So there are in your handout 7 potential questions. Feel free to add some more potential questions. You can also Google 360 review, and based on the construct, there's lots of questions. If this is a work environment, there's, you know, what do you think is the best project we did last year? Where do you think we're being the most effective? Where do you think we're wasting the most time? Where do you think we're blowing the most resources? What's the one thing you think we should change in this group? Right? There's a lot of these, lots of these that you could take on. I'm focused really on the personal ones and how we show up for others. So the real question is, what if you and only you were in charge of how your relationships evolved? Because you are. And what if you could make every single one of your relationships be one of friendship, trust, rapport, mutual support, win-win? Think about that. What if every single person that you bumped into, everyone, that you were able to show up for them in such a way that every single relationship turned into one of advocacy? Every single one, that they want to help you and you want to help them, and I'm a champion for them and they're a champion for me, and we're on each other's team, and we listen and we help and we create and we give honest feedback and we champion for each other. Think of all the people that you know. What if each of those people just gave you one referral? That's it. Each of you know a couple hundred people. A couple hundred. Look at the number of Facebook friends you have and subtract those that are realtors. Well, maybe not subtract those that are realtors. What if most of those realtors are not in your marketplace? What if each of those people thought you were just the cat's meow? They thought you were awesome and honest, and they love being around you, and they can't wait to talk to you again, and they love having you in their life, and they think you're amazing and trustworthy and honest, and you're an amazing salesperson, and they would be honored. They would be honored if you would list and sell their mother's home because of how you show up for them. So from this place, from this foundation, from this state of beingness, all the tools and the techniques and some of the language patterns and some of the tools that we're going to learn going forward, they're going to work so well. Oh my gosh, they come alive. And without this foundation, you just start beating people over the head with some of the tools that you're learning in here. That puts you on par with those like old AT&T telemarketers.
Hey, this is Fred Smith. I'm calling about your long-distance service. Let me tell you about the rates we have today in Canada and Mexico. Oh, my gosh.
That's what happens when the salesperson doesn't care how they show up for another. So my intention is that we transform, that we focus on how we show up in the relationship with others. And this is totally within your power to transform. So that's my intention. So your exercise this week, I like to call it the home play, not homework. Home play, because one thing we know for sure is if you have fun doing it, you will learn infinitely more. So play, have fun. So your home play exercise, your two home play exercises this week are, number one, that you be totally focused on the rapport game. That means when you speak to people, really just tune in. We'll do some specific exercises in upcoming weeks. Really tune in to not just what they're saying, but how are they saying it? Are they excited? Are they upset? Are they nervous? Are they talking really loud? Are they, you know, hey, what's going on there, stranger? Hey, man, nice to meet you, stranger. Like, we're no longer strangers. Like, get in sync as quickly as you can with their communication model, because that has us be in harmony, and it creates this rapport, which is the state of trust and responsiveness. That's what I want with my clients. I want to trust them. I want them to trust me. I want to respond to them. I want they to respond to me, them to respond to me. I want to be in this loop of perpetual responsiveness such that we're both helping boost each other up. Now, from this space, objections are rare. We trust each other. I don't have to do all those objections. We're still going to do a session on objection handling, not to worry. And the goal is that you are become so good at this that objections are rare. All right, so thing number one is focus on the way in which they speak, and you get in rapport as quickly as you can right off the bat, even if you're calling an answering machine. The answering machine's still going to tell you a lot, too. The answering machine could say, hey, this is Joel. I'm really busy leaving my cell phone. Leave me a message. I'll get back to you right away. Right, then leave your message like that. Hey, Joel, Steve, I just want to let you know this is what's going on. I look forward to talking to you soon. Right, be in rapport with the answering machine. All right, technique number two, or exercise number two, is the self-critique, a.k.a. the 360 review. My request is that you decide right now, right now, right now, make a commitment, set an intention. How many of these are you going to do this week? Nothing is going to teach you more about yourself and how you show up for others than to openly and honestly request feedback for how do I show up for other people and see what they have to say. Remember, you can't address these. Well, you know, you're a little bit rude. Well, what do you mean rude? I didn't. Right? There's no defending yourself. There's no protecting yourself. There's no justifying your behavior. Your response is, thank you. Great. Thank you. Is there anything else? And what you'll find is the more that you continue to hold this space of, great. Thank you. Is there anything else? Yeah, you're also a rude jerk. Great. Thank you. Is there anything else? Yeah, I hate it when you blah, blah, blah. Great. Thank you. Is there anything else? You continue to hold the space of not protecting yourself. Great. Thank you. Is there anything else? And you'll see that the feedback gets deeper and deeper and more authentic and more helpful. This is the stuff that the people aren't telling you. So with that, we only have, I don't know, 6 or 8 or 10 minutes left. Let's crack it open for a little Q&A. Questions, comments, ahas.
Hi, Joel.
Oh, my God, I can't really say this to anybody. What am I going to say? Yes, question.
Joel, this is Danette, and I'm curious, is it good to start with our family, or would you suggest that we start with people who are not so personal with this 360 critique?
I don't know that it really matters. I think that I would want to check with people that actually know me. So the more somebody knows you, the more... you know, the more intense, the more insightful they're going to be. So if it's somebody that doesn't really know you very well, you know, how insightful are they going to be in giving you feedback?
Okay, fair enough. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So I did this in another group recently, and an old friend of mine was in the group, and she said, well, hey, can I interview you? And I said, sure, you can do the 360 review with me. Of course you can. However, you know, you and I haven't talked in 6 or 7 years. So what you're going to get from me is what I thought of you 6 or 7 years ago. Is that the same person you are now? They're like, well, not really. So you'll get different feedback from different people in different quadrants of your life. So if you interview your children, then you're going to see, you're going to get a 360 review on how you are as a parent. If you do your business associates, you're going to get feedback on how are you as a business associate. So my recommendation is that you do it in several different areas in your life. Do it in your personal life, do it in your business life, do it with your friends, do it with, you know, the people in your church, you know, whatever. Do several different categories and get several different feedbacks. One last thing I want to say about that, well, maybe not the last thing, but one more thing I'd like to say about that is be mindful. Don't take too personally if one person has something to say that's kind of negative. Any one of these, well, all of these actually, will have some sort of bias. So what you're really looking for in doing this exercise is commonality. So if two or three or four people say the same thing about you, really that's probably something for you to start paying attention to. If everybody says one thing about you, but one person has one really, you know, unique experience of you, certainly I want to check that out. Maybe I need to clean something up. Maybe I owe somebody an apology. I have no idea. And if it's unique to that one person, then maybe that's just some unique thing to that person. What I'm most interested in are the things that are showing up over and over and over and over in all of the relationships. That's the place where you're really going to grow. So questions, comments, anything. Are any of you, to be honest, are any of you freaked out and not wanting to do this exercise? Oh my gosh, I couldn't do this. Anybody really nervous about this? I'm going to take that as a no. Is anybody really excited? Oh my gosh,
Jody
I get to finally
from Atlanta.
See. I'm sorry, who from Atlanta?
Jody Rand.
Hi Jody, how are you?
I'm good. I actually took your language of sales about a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, and got so much out of it, I thought I'd try it again. But I am going to be honest with you. Confidence is a huge, big deal for me. So this will be a difficult exercise for me for sure.
And how does, when you say confidence is a big deal, I'm hearing that you hallucinate that you don't have a lot of confidence. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay, so what is it about this exercise that you think is going to require confidence?
It's going to be difficult for me to hear negative things.
Okay. That sounds like an issue of being sensitive, not confidence lacking.
Correct.
Okay. So it's not about confidence. You have the confidence to do this. You're just a little fearful that somebody's going to say something negative.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. And if there is something negative that's getting in the way between you and one of these people you're going to interview, your friends, your family, your coworkers, if there is something negative going on in that relationship, would you like to know what it is, or do you want it to just keep doing it and not knowing about it?
Absolutely. You're right. I do want to hear about it.
I do want to hear about it. For sure I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So look at it from that realm. Like, this is a chance for you to clean it up and things that you might not even know about. Is that helpful to come at it from that perspective?
It will. So do you think part of this class will help with the sensitivity issue?
I think so. And for me, the thing, I'm that way too. I'm freakishly sensitive. I'm clearly empathic. So for me, the part that has helped me not be so stinking sensitive
is the belief structure. It's written somewhere on page 2 or 3 of your notes, I think, that all human beings are doing the best that they can. And if somebody yells and screams and gets mad at me, I can choose to take that personally, or it helps me to adopt this belief structure that this person's doing the very best that they can, right? Based on their upbringing, based on their education, based on their, you know, religious background, based on who housebroke them, based on what school they went to, based on their socioeconomic background, based on did their parents beat them or not beat them, I don't know. They're doing the best they can. And it's really never about me. So just adopting this mindset has made a big difference for me. It doesn't mean that I still don't get my feelings hurt, because I still do. But adopting that mindset has made a massive difference for me. So try that on and see what difference it makes for you.
Thank you. And the reason why I shared that is perhaps maybe other people on this call might share that same condition.
Well, that's why I like these calls to be open and participatory, because I don't think anybody ever asks a question that nobody else had. I'm sure there's people on this call that helped. I'm sure of it. Notice there's some people on this call that's so true about that they weren't even able to ask the question. So thank you for being bold enough to ask that for others.
All right, thank you. I will definitely try that on this.
Awesome. Thanks, Jody. Anybody else? We have a few minutes left. Questions, comments, ahas, unlock.
Hi, this is Christy in Houston.
Hi, Christy.
I had a question. So
please.
When we're doing these 360 reviews, if we only communicate or people who know us best are similar to us, then won't we only be getting one view of our person?
Yeah, which is why I recommend that you do this with several people. I think you should do at least one a day. If you do it with your children, assuming they're, you know, pseudo-adult children, you'll get one perspective. If you do this with agents in your office, you'll get another perspective. If you do this with one of your clients, you'll get another perspective. You do it with your very, very best girlfriend you've known for 30 years, you'll get another perspective. You do it with a new friend that you've only known for 6 months, you get another perspective. So yes, you should do it with lots of different people. And if there's a person in your life that's kind of a friend, but it's kind of tense, and there's a little difference, and you're not really, is really in rapport, and that relationship's a little bit strained, man, that's probably a really good one to do.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Awesome. Anybody else? Questions, comments, fears? Again, my recommendation is that you decide right now how many of these you're going to do. In fact, write down a list of names. Hey, here's the people that I'm going to do this with. I'm going to ask this person and this person and that person and that person and this person. And that you blast out an email and go, hey, I'm doing this exercise, and I would really love it if you had 20 minutes for me this week. Can I schedule 20, even if it's on the phone? I prefer to do these in person. However, totally open to do it on the phone. See if, you know, write a list of the people you want to do it with and proactively fire off an email. Hey, I'm doing this little thing. I'd really love 20 minutes of your time. Are you able to schedule me in for 20 minutes this week? I'm happy to buy you a coffee. You do it over the phone, whatever you need. So set these up. Proactively get these set up. I promise you will get wild breakthroughs from seeing how you show up for other people. All right, last.
Joel?
Last call. We're at the top of the hour, yes.
What exactly does number 3 and number 4 mean?
So
based
question number 3 and question number 4.
Based on what I'm committed to, what works about who I am? What works, what does not work about who I am?
Yeah, so let's say, for example, that you declare the commitment that based on what I'm committed to is running a real estate team that's the number one team in the tri-state area, doing 1,000 homes a year and selling $1 billion in real estate. Whatever that, I don't know what it is for you. Based on what I'm committed to, owning and running a just big giant team, what works about who I am? I'm going to say, well, what works about who you are is, you know, you're totally in integrity and you're totally inspiring. And I see by who you are that people are going to want to be around you. Okay, great. Based on what I'm committed to,
what doesn't work about who I am? Okay, well, what doesn't work about who you are is, if you want to be inspiring all these people to come work with you, then how come every time I see it on Facebook, all you do is post about drinking wine? Do you not see that as a problem? That's what doesn't work about you. You want to be inspiring people, you're always talking about getting drunk on Facebook. That doesn't work.
Got it.
Does that help?
Yes, very much. Thank
awesome.
You.
Awesome. Great question. All right. So we are top of the hour. So once again, I'd like to thank you for being here. We're just getting warmed up. We're just getting our feet wet. And thank you for being here in this new workshop, The Truth About Sales. We have some expose stuff coming as well, lots of language tools coming as well. And once again, the magic of this course happens in you doing the exercises. I will do my very best to make these calls every week entertaining, enlightening, inspiring, engaging, and the magic happens by you doing the heavy lifting. So go do these exercises. Focus on these. Take notes. Learn as much as you can learn, and I'll see you all here next week. So thank you all. Have an awesome week. We'll see you all next time. Bye-bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Are unmuted. There we go. See you all next time. Thanks for being here, everybody. Bye-bye.